Amen. The word hallelujah itself means let the Lord be praised. Oh, praise Him. All you people, the psalmist said. Their psalm says praise Him in the morning. Praise Him in the evening. There's psalms that say praise Him at the rising of the sun and praise Him at the setting of the sun. Just praise the Lord. Let everything that have breath praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Well, how many's halfway happy you might be saved tonight? How many's overjoyed to know you're saved? Know you're saved. Amen. Psalm 63. Last Sunday night, we began with these verses. We're going to read them again, Lord willing, for the next Sunday nights we have without something else. I'm going to be preaching from these verses, not in an exposition, but in a burden of what I believe you have as well, a burden to see the Lord move by His power in these last days. People talk of the coming of the Lord, and I believe He's coming. With all the bad that's happening, I'd like to see that latter rain revival before the Lord comes back, because that's going to sweep in lost backsliders and lost folks, amen, for there to be a move of God, a revival in the last days. Praise the Lord. Before we read this, and it's most of it's already on the board here, before we read this, my observation has been from reading the Bible and from history and from my own experience that God will always move where folks are hungry. God will always move where folks are thirsty. It doesn't matter if it's just the youth group, the older folk, like myself. God will move where people are hungry. He doesn't care what the name is on the church. He doesn't care what they say. In the past, their beliefs have been, if they get hungry for God, God's going to move. Amen. Could you stand for the reading of God's Word? Why don't you just read these verses with me? There's just two of them that we're going to read. Let's read together. O God, Thou art my God. Early, together, early will I seek Thee. My soul thirsteth for Thee. My flesh longeth for Thee in a dry and thirsty land where no water is. To see Thy power and Thy glory, so as I have seen Thee in the sanctuary. We're calling these on the Sunday nights, as we have seen. As we have seen. I'm glad there's still enough that have seen what God can do. We sang, it is no secret what God can do. I'm glad there's still folks that have seen what God can do. Amen. And tonight we're going to talk about, as we have seen, we're going to talk about conversion. Conversion. Father, help us tonight. In Jesus' name. May we not only preach about this, may someone experience it. In Christ's name I pray. Amen. You can be seated. This psalm that we read, these two verses, is about a desire for the Lord. Let me say up front that we only desire what we pray for. Amen. Someone can say, well, I desire God to do this. I desire. We only desire what we pray for. Amen. If I'm really praying for it, then I desire it. We want to see His power and His glory. How do you see the power of something? You can only see the power of something when you can see what it can do. You only see the power of an automobile when you can see how fast it goes. You only see the power of electricity when you can see what it can do, what it can work, what it can run. You can only see the power of something when you can see what it does. And when we say we want to see Thy power, we're saying we want to see what God can do. That's the power of God. It's what He can do. Last Sunday night, we preached that His power is seen in the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And I believe that. I believe you can see the power of God God in the baptism of the Holy Ghost. But tonight we're preaching, we can see His power in conversion. His power in conversion. To say we want to see His power is to say we want to see people converted. What are you talking about, Pastor? What is conversion? Conversion is an encounter with Christ that results in a changed life. Hallelujah. How many still believes that happens? I'm preaching about the power of God in conversion. And conversion is an encounter with Christ that changes a life. I believe that happens. Hallelujah. You know, I've just got to stop and admit this. Whenever I begin to think about conversion, I'm not a joke teller, I'm a bad one. But whenever I begin to talk about conversion, I can't keep from thinking about that story you heard. I'm sure you heard it when I started, but that couple, that man and woman and his son, they were landlocked up in them hills. But there came something, I can't remember if it was legal or medical, some necessity caused them to leave the hills and to seek out the big city that they hadn't been to for years. And they got to the big city, and mama sat in the car, and dad and son, they went into the lobby of the big building, and they were looking around trying to orient themselves to where they were supposed to go. And they watched this aged woman that wasn't very pleasant to look at, and from the burden of years, and they watched her go over to the wall, and the doors open, and the lady makes her way, shuffles her way inside that little room, and the doors close. And as they're standing there looking at that wall, not long after that, those same doors open back up, and this beautiful young lady comes through those doors, and the dad's eyes got real big, and he turned to his son. He said, "Son, go get your ma. Go get your ma." Amen. I just can't get that out of my mind. Conversion. I know that's silly, but I do believe there is a conversion experience. There is an encounter with Christ that'll totally change a person and change their life and change their attitude and change their perspective and change everything about him. How many believes in conversion? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I remember one time a man prayed in these altars, and I talked to his wife that week, and she said, "Oh, Pastor, I got a new husband. I got a new husband. He's a changed man. He's a different person." Conversion, a drastic, revolutionary, 180 degree turnaround. There was a song back in the 80s. It said, "There's been a change in me. I'm not the one I used to be." I still believe in conversion. When people encounter Christ, their lives are changed. I said it was a drastic thing. I'm not just talking about the moment when someone prays at the altar. I heard my dad say years ago when he was a boy, he said, "I marvel at this. I've seen some folks go down to the altar, use up a box of Kleenex, weep and cry and holler out and pray real loud, get up from the altar and never show back up in the house of God." He said, "I saw other folks, they got down, prayed a little bit, didn't see much emotion, but they never failed from that day forward to serve God." And so I'm not talking about how drastic that experience is, the emotion in the altar. But when conversion, it's not just the emotion of when a person initially pray, but a person, you can tell they've been converted when there's a difference. When they get up, there's a difference in the way they live, a difference in the way they think, a difference in the way they feel. I'm talking about seeing the power of God in conversion. Even people that the government can't change through institutions. People that therapy cannot change. Even people that no amount of counseling can change. But they encounter Christ. And when they get up, the bondage is gone. The habits are gone. The ugliness is gone. And there's a new creation. Oh, how many believes that if any person be in Christ, he's a new creation. Oh, things are passed away, all things. Oh, God, may we see your power in conversion. Amen. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But to as many as received him, to them gave he power. Gave he power to become the sons of God, even to those that believe on his name. Oh, I'm talking about a power of conversion. Listen, I'm not just preaching a sermon. I'm talking about a burden for this church. We're seeking God for a manifestation of his power, so that when the lost come through those doors with messed up lives, when those in a mess hear the message, they'll encounter Christ and they'll leave here different by conversion, the power of God in conversion. Oh, we need it. I heard on the internet radio this week, they were singing that old Southern gospel song. They baptized Jesse Taylor in Cedar Creek last Sunday. How many knows the song I'm talking about? Even the young folks know it. Praise God. That's better than yeah any day. Just threw that in. But I was wondering, why do folks like that song? Is it because they have a nostalgia for outdoor water baptisms? I can't remember the words of it. That's all I remember of it. But that song talks about an ornery fella. But when he met the Lord, his life was changed. I don't think they baptized Jesse Taylor in Cedar Creek last Sunday because they're just pining for the days we went out and got baptized in rivers and creeks and Wolf Creek up here. And pond. I think there's something about it. People still have a longing in their heart to see the power of God manifested in conversion when people's lives are drastically turned around. I believe God does it. I believe it's more than shaking a preacher's hand and getting wet in a tank. I believe it's a born-again experience when a life is revolutionized. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Conversions, about face, turnarounds. He'll turn your life around. Amen. The psalmist said, I want to see thy power and thy glory as I have seen thee in the sanctuary. This sanctuary shouldn't be a place where the unsaved can come with their troubles and be made to feel comfortable and to feel better about themselves and yet never change their life. The sanctuary shouldn't be a place where people can learn and simply learn psychological things and how to develop potential and how to be financially successful. The sanctuary isn't a place, even where folks, or shouldn't be a place where folks come and just get a hope that they're going to heaven regardless of their relationship with God. But the sanctuary should be a place where the unlost or the lost, the unsaved, come in and encounter the power of God through Christ, and that encounter changes them and everything about them. That's the place of the sanctuary. Oh, hallelujah. Conversion will take them from being sinful to being saintly, from being bitter to being sweet, from being just plain mean to being kind, amen, from being discouraged to being full of joy, from being a product of abuse to being someone that's been healed by the wounded Savior, hallelujah, to have no hope and to be turned into someone filled with hope. That's conversion. Man can't do it. No amount of programs can do it, but the power of God through Christ can convert souls. Hallelujah. Oh, praise the name of the Lord. I know I've shared this many times, but when I think about the power of conversion, very few here know him, but I think of my friend Dudley, raised in the same church I was when we were young. In Sunday school, he'd be in one corner, standing in one corner, and I'd be in the other. We weren't praying either. We were in trouble. And he had a very bad home life. And so in his teenage years, he got really out in sin. Was in the rock and roll scene, the dope scene. Brother Mike was scanning a picture of me today for the website, and the white was showing through, and I asked him if he could kind of touch it up, you know, put some black in there. He said, I'll give you a fro. Well, Dudley, he let his hair grow way out, and he had a fro. Red fro. We were having revival. I won't go into all the story, but we were having revival, and we'd already started song service, and Dudley walked in. He don't mind me saying this. You think he can give you a mean look now? You ought to see him before he got saved. I mean, he walked in. He was glowering. I mean, he was just, sin was all over him, all hunched over. He came back and stood in the pew. Everyone was standing, singing, stood in the pew back here. We never got through a song. All of a sudden, Dudley stepped out in the aisle, came down the aisle, fell over on the altar, began to weep and cry, call out to God. And when he stood up, that blackness had left, and there was literally a glow about his face. He still had the fro, but he had the glow too. Amen. He went home that night, got all his rock and roll records, and went out in the backyard and burned them up. Records, I said. I'll explain that to you after church. Burned his records and 8 tracks, got rid of them all. Got the fro cut off, but kept the glow. Amen. And the next night he came to church and folks didn't recognize him, but he was saved. Been saved ever since. That's conversion. Oh, hallelujah. How many still believes in the power of God through conversion? Don't tell me you tried it. It's not something you try. It's something you let God do to you by believing in Christ. It's not believing the creed. Amen. It's meeting Christ. Oh, I believe in it. And then I want to give you an example from the Bible. How many remembers a man named Saul? You may remember him better by the name of Paul. Saul was a terrorist. He said, don't call him that. Well, you need to call him what he was. If you'd been a Christian in Jerusalem right after Christ's death and resurrection, you would have believed what I'm telling you. Paul was a terrorist. He went out and he terrorized the Christian community. He'd go and arrest them, throw them in jail, beat them, have them beaten. One of them was stoned. Stephen was stoned to death. And the Bible says he was breathing out threatenings. I wasn't going to share this, but the Greek word for breathing out threatenings is halitosis. Does anyone know what that means? I'm telling you the truth. I'm not making it up. He breathed out threatenings. You know what he was doing? He was talking about what he was going to do to those Christians. I'm telling you what, when I get a hold of those Christians, I'm going to do this. I'm going to throw them in jail. I'm going to have them stoned. I'm going to bind them up. And he went to the high priest and he asked for letters of authority to travel to Damascus, to that community there. And if he found any Christians, to tie them up and drag them back to Jerusalem and put them to trial and just do all kinds of evil things to them because they live for Christ. And here he went. He had those letters of authority, Sister Dixon, and he was mad and he was mean, and he's going to get those Christians. I'll show you what I'll do to those Christians. And he's marching to Damascus, and he almost gets there when the Bible said suddenly there came a light from heaven brighter than the noonday sun, and Saul, he fell down. He just dropped down, and there was a voice from heaven that said, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And Saul looked up and said, who are you? And the Lord said, I am Jesus. I am Jesus. Oh, something happened right then in Saul's heart. I am Jesus whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And the Bible said that Saul began to tremble and say, Lord, what shall I do? And Jesus said, arise and go into the city, and it'll be shown you what you shall do. Oh, and Saul stood, and he was blind, and they took him by the hand and led him into the city. I'm telling you, the meanness was gone. The hate of Christ was gone in those moments with the light from heaven. And then he heard the voice. He had an encounter, Brother Steve. I am Jesus. And Saul's a changed man. I'm telling you, the light still shines in the darkness. And the voice of Christ still speaks. I am Jesus. And he still changes lives. He's a changed man. He got into the city blind. He cannot see. The Bible said his eyes were open, but he could not see. God began to deal in the heart of another saint called Ananias. And he said, Ananias, I want you to go to the street called Straight, and I want you to enter the house of Judas. And there's a man there named Saul, and Ananias is already saying, whoa, Lord, hold it. I've heard about that Saul. The Lord said, oh, you know the one? I want you to go pray for him, that he'll receive his sight and let him know that he's a chosen vessel to carry the gospel to the Gentiles. And then I said, now, Lord, you know how, isn't it interesting how we inform God of things? And I said, now, wait a minute, God, don't you know he's the one that came here to persecute Christians? And the Lord said, go to him. And this is what the Lord said, for he prayeth. And Ananias went to him and prayed for Saul, and the scales fell off, and Saul was filled with the Holy Ghost, baptized in water, and he got a name change from Saul to Paul. That's conversion. He had an encounter with Christ and it changed his life. He had come to persecute and he ended up preaching. Hallelujah. Now I want to show you this, and I'm about done, but here's how you can know you're converted. You can see it in Paul's life. Number one, if you're really converted, you'll have an impulse to pray. God told Ananias. In other words, God, Jesus was saying, you know Saul is converted because he's praying. If you're converted, you'll have an impulse to pray. I'm not talking about a ritualistic traditional prayer. I'm talking about an impulse. You'll want to communicate with your Savior. Number two, you'll have an impulse to be with and worship with God's people. The Bible said after the scales came off that Saul went to the believers. They had trouble with that. He'd come to persecute him, but he went to the believers and he tarried with them. He worshiped with him. He fellowshipped with them. If you're really converted, you'll have an impulse to be with and worship with God's people. Our brother Clint didn't say many times. He said he was wondering one time walking across the parking lot why you had to beg people to come to church. He's thinking of a certain individual. Why do you have to beg them to be to church? Get on the phone and call them, try to see. He said, you know, the Lord spoke to him and said, because they're not really saved. Because when they're really saved, they'll have an impulse to be with God's people and to worship him. Paul prayed. He had an impulse to pray. Number two, he joined himself to those believers and fellowship with them, and he worshiped with them. And the last impulse, there's others, but you can know you're converted when you have an impulse to tell others what God has done in your life. You let a person get truly converted and they have an impulse. They want to tell people what happened to them. If you have to draw it out of them that they're saved, there's doubts there. But when you really get converted, I mean, you may be shy or whatever, amen, but you'll have an impulse to tell people. Hallelujah. We fight a lot about new electronic things. I think we ought to just use them for the gospel. Amen. But if you're a young person or not so young and you really get saved, you'll have no shame of getting on Facebook and say, praise God, he saved me tonight and turned me around. You'll have an impulse to do that. Hallelujah. Converted. Saul was converted. You say, wait a minute, I'm thinking of some of my lost loved ones. They are so sinful. They are so hardened. They are so hateful. They're so bound. They're so wicked. How can they be converted? That's the only kind of people that can be converted. If they're righteous and holy, there's no conversion. You can't convert something into what it already is. And so it's not a reason they can't be converted. It's a reason they can be. Name how bad they are, and that's just a reason they can be converted. He can change him into something else. Oh, how many wants to see the power of God in conversion? We've seen it in the past. If I gave you an opportunity to tell, you would tell the folks you saw, you have seen converted. And that drastic change. How many can testify tonight that there's been a drastic change in your life when you encountered Christ? Hallelujah. Oh, praise the name of the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord. I had not heard this, and I tried diligently to check it out. And I believe it checks out. A lot of times there's internet rumors, and I got this from a from a minister, not through the internet, but from a minister's writing, but I wanted to check it out before I told you. How many knows the name Alice Cooper? Some of the older ones. When I was a teenager, there was a shock rocker. It was the beginning of heavy metal rock. Alice Cooper, that's not his real name. Alice Cooper not only was in rock and roll, he was also an actor in horror movies. And he would dress up like a reptilian demon and try to shock people, not just with his singing, but with his antics and his appearance. It was evil, evil, evil. Some of the worst kind of songs, like Kill Babies, and I can't think of all the names of his song, but they were all just wickedness, wickedness. But in the early 1990s, he had an encounter with Christ and was converted. I read today, you perhaps may not know the name, but one of the greatest theologians of our times is a man, R.C. Sproul. Has anyone heard of him? He has golfed with R.C. Sproul. And one of the Christians he golfed with said, if you ever get him started about Jesus, you can't get him to shut up. His life has changed. And he's began to sing songs of talking about his conversion. And I hope it all checks out. I researched as carefully as I could to find out. But I'm telling you what, whether that all checks out or not, and I believe it will, I know Christ can do that. Take a shock rocker that sang out perverted lyrics into someone that if you get him started talking about Jesus, you can't hardly get him to shut up. That's conversion. I said, that's conversion. You young people, you don't know Alice Cooper, but if you did, you know that is a miracle of conversion. Hallelujah. Listen, I'll tell you one thing, church. We've become dead. Listen to me. We've become a dead church the moment we quit believing and quit seeking conversions of the lost. The moment we start believing folks are so bad, so far from God, so wicked that there cannot be a change in their life. The moment we start believing that, we've become a dead church. But I'm telling you, a church with the power of God is a church where conversions take place. I know people's lives are messed up. I've seen folks that got saved that couldn't get back Sunday night. That could only get here once a week because of family situations and work and all that. But I've seen God's difference in lives. Hallelujah. I'm not talking about using salvation as a get out of trouble thing or to take the heat off or to pray the conviction off. I'm talking about somebody that really wants Christ and wants their life changed. He has the power to change it. Could we stand across the building? Hallelujah. I want you to know right here tonight, if you're here, your life may be a mess. You may be far from God. You may be in darkness. If you'll come to Christ and call out to Him, reach out to Him, He can change your life. If any person, get hold of it tonight. If any person, any gender, any time, from any place in society, from any type of history and past, if any man, any woman be in Christ, she becomes a new creation. And old things will pass away, and all things will become new. One of the saddest scriptures in the Bible is when Jesus said, you will not come unto me that you might have life. He never said, you can't come unto me. He said, you will not come unto me that you might have life. Oh, tonight, if you're here without Christ, come to Him. You can come. And if you will come, He'll change your life. Hallelujah. Let's bow our heads across this building. Father, move in someone's heart with faith. Oh, Father, move by your Spirit right now. Jesus, you gave your life. You shed your blood. Lord, you rose again that we might be saved and changed for now and eternity. Lord, I pray you'd move on someone right now. Let them see that there could be light in the darkness, hope in the hopelessness. Oh, Lord, a change around in the way of thinking, the way of feeling, the way of doing. Amen. If you're here tonight and you're without Christ, I want to invite you to come and encounter Him in faith. Not of works, lest any man should boast. But by faith, believing what He has done. Are you here? Do you need Christ? I come to Him. Surrender to His love. Hallelujah. It's not an ideology. It's not a philosophy. It's not a therapy. It's an encounter with the person, the risen Lord, Jesus Christ. Would you come if you need Christ? Would you come if you need Christ? Maybe you're a young person. It just dawned on you. You need changed in heart. You want to become a new creation. Maybe you're an older person. Oh, would you seek, church, would you seek the Lord right now? Hallelujah. Oh, you will not come unto me that you might have life. Oh, but He said, come, come. Hallelujah. He that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. He that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. I'll change him. I'll transform him. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. 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 Church, is this our burden? How many would lift a hand and say, my burden is to see the power of God in the converting of the lost? Is that your desire? Oh, hallelujah. Just come and fill these altars. Young people, you can witness to folks. The power of Christ can transform them. Amen. Fill these altars. Hallelujah. Oh, we want to see the power of Christ in conversion. The power of Christ in conversion. Hallelujah. If you need the Lord, come with these. Come on. Come with these. Don't be one of those that will not come unto Him. Be one of those that come and let Him transform and change. Make your life over again. Oh, Jesus. Oh, Savior. Oh, Savior. You're the one that bled. You're the one that died. You're the one that gave your life that we might be saved. Lord, you shed your blood that we could be forgiven, that we could be healed. Lord, not just the physical ailments, but healed in our spirit. Healed in our soul. Healed in our minds. Hallelujah. Oh, let's seek Him. Oh, we want to see your power and glory in conversion. We want to see your power and glory in conversion. Hallelujah.